Hello, everybody. Welcome to EDUCAUSE and welcome to Philadelphia. Glad you could make it. Today's presentation is Data to Dashboards, Creating and Using Analytics. Today's panel consists of Stephen Greco, Interim Chief Administrative Officer of West Campus and Dean of Arts and Humanities at Montgomery County Community College. We have Susan Hawk, who's the Dean, Flexible Learning Options and Academic Technology at Community College of Philadelphia, and Celeste Schwartz, Vice President for Information Technology at Montgomery County Community College. Before we get started with the presentation, just a couple housekeeping items. If you would, could you just raise your hand if you have an empty seat next to you so folks can move in and take a seat? There's plenty of seats, especially right here in the middle and toward the front, so please come on in, sit down. The other issue is that we are broadcasting this online today. So if you do have questions you'd like to ask the panel, we'd like you to please come up and use the microphone here and speak into the microphone so our online audience can hear the question as well. Thank you, and now we have our presentation.
Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Celeste Schwartz. I am Vice President for Information Technology at Montgomery County Community College. And with me are my colleagues. And so that there's no confusion, I tease Susan all the time. Susan worked for me for many years until 10 days ago. And she got a brand new great job at Philadelphia Community College as the Dean of Flexible Learning. But prior to that, Susan, for many years, was the Director of Academic Technology for Montgomery County Community College. And when we did this presentation, obviously, and submitted it, she was in that role. So let me just say a couple of things so that you, and I'll do this as a kickoff to this presentation. My job with this presentation, and I really want you to think about this, and it really is something that I believe in as a vice president for technology, and I've been one for a long, long time. The reason I have a dean with me is because this is not about technology. This is about taking data, taking information, taking dashboards, taking analytics, and really doing something with it. So as I say to my colleague, Stephen, and I've been teasing him all week about this, you know, you are the show. So I'm just going to lay the groundwork. Susan's going to do a little bit about some of the, we only pick two or three things that we look at in IT. We probably have about 20 different types of reporting that we do and measures that we do and benchmarks that we do within our organization, then benchmarking ourselves with organizations throughout the United States. So the other thing I want to say is if you have ever submitted an EDUCAUSE presentation, one of the things that EDUCAUSE strongly encourages will happen here today, and that is that there will be a time for you to participate. So we're going to try to get through our presentation in about a half hour. And then there will be an opportunity for you to work in groups, turn around, we're thinking like groups of 10, and then to do a report out, because we're just one piece of a massive puzzle as far as data and analytics. So we have a little handout for everybody and some questions, and that will be our last slide. And it will also allow, since it's our last slide in our slide deck, it will also allow our online audience to participate as well. So I'm going to get started. Oh, the other thing is for anybody standing, the presentation is done in Prezi. So if you know anything about Prezi, I'd sit. Because some people get motion sickness from Prezi. So there still are seats toward the front, and I'm going to try one more time asking anybody who has a seat next to them to please raise their hand so the people in the back might be able to come forward. Thank you. Okay, so where's Montgomery County Community College? First of all, we are very pleased to have you in Philadelphia this year because Montgomery County Community College borders Philadelphia County. And we are 25 miles northwest of Philadelphia. It is a very large suburban area. We have, as you can see, an unduplicated annual credit and non-credit headcount of 34,000 students. We're considered a large, comprehensive suburban community college. And credit enrollment this fall is 14,600, roughly. That seems to change day to day. And we have two on-the-ground campuses, one in Bluebell and one in Pottstown. Our Pottstown campus is about an hour away, drive time, from our Bluebell campus. And we also have a fairly large online campus with 8 online programs involved with the online campus. So what I want to first do is sort of set the agenda, like, what are we doing here? What are we talking to you about? We're going to talk to you, I'm going to really kick off this first little triangle and talk very briefly about process, tools, and people. Susan's going to talk about IT staff perspectives, and then Stephen, our Dean for Humanities, is going to talk about the academic perspective. And I think that area is really going to, I think, create some interest and energy, and then we'll roll into the interactive activity. So, first of all, as far as drivers, our institution is a data-driven decision-making institution, and what drives that for all institutions, whether you're a community college, four-year college, or a research university? It doesn't matter where we are in higher education today. We all are facing shrinking resources. We are all being asked more and more to prove that what we do has value. So the issue of accountability, the issue of assessment. And the only way you can get at some of these issues is through data. And not data for the sake of data, but data, using data to then move into some process improvement or action. So I put this slide up to sort of just show you the varying labels that we sort of give this whole area of data and reporting and analytics. And I think many of you probably have small or large organizations that deal with institutional effectiveness, and a lot of this can fall under institutional effectiveness. I think what you're going to see today is that we take data and analytics seriously all the way down to the individual division department levels, and we don't just let it sit up in an institutional effectiveness area of our institution. So the pathways for analysis, pretty simple, not going to spend a lot of time on this. Reporting, analyzing, and predicting. It's pretty simple. Most of us do a very good job collecting data, maybe not always as good a job as we could do in the data integrity area, but we pretty much can generate reports. Once we start getting to the next level, in a real dashboard environment, some of us do that fairly well. Others are working hard at getting there. And in the area of predicting and that whole continuous improvement component, I think it's really where we all want to be. So if you attended Mark Milliron's session yesterday, you would have heard him also mention Davenport and Harris. And they have several books on analytics. And I've just put this up here so that you could see that we really move from this sort of standardized reporting environment, ad hoc reporting, the whole query and drill down alerts, and then we move to the top of this triangle is really your statistical analysis and your predictive modeling. And Davenport and Harris describe, and that's what's basically on this chart, the what, where, and why of each of these. So once again, I want to reiterate the process, the tools, and the people. So from a people standpoint, when you deal with reporting, you're really talking about, and analytics, you're really talking about many different people in your organization. It doesn't rest with a single person or a single component of your organization. It starts all the way down with the data entry components and those people who help with any type of data entry, which, by the way, could be your students. I mean, it doesn't have to be your employee. The end user is certainly part of this bigger project of data and analytics. Most importantly, this end user project groups, it's not single end users that you're working with. Technologists are support people. They are not the people who you should be depending upon to really get to that deep analysis of data. That's really all of our jobs as part of our institution. And I put institutional leaders up here because I firmly believe this. The institutions that are doing the best with data-driven decision-making, the support is coming from the very top leaders of the organization. The institutions that are struggling are institutions where mid-level directors are trying to utilize data and analysis, and it's not being supported at the top levels of an organization. Processes. In the area of processes, I talked briefly about data validation. With automation today, as we know, we are depending on some of our own employees to do data entry. And in other cases, we're depending on our customer, our students, to do data entry. We've got to manage that data input because if the data going in is not accurate, the analysis at the end has no value. The other thing I want to talk briefly about is training. I can't emphasize enough the importance of training. And I say that because we have an analytical tool that we use. I'll talk about that in a minute. But all of our reporting tools, all of our products that we purchase, we have a requirement that there be some type of reporting built into that product, reporting that would give us information that we can then act upon. I can't tell you how important the training of end users is and the importance of that training being done and being repeated after a time. Refresher courses, it's just not a once and done. A whole nother topic I want to say about training, it would be a whole nother presentation. 1 hour training sessions have little to no value. The only people who really learn in a 1 hour training sessions are those who are already active experimenters. If you've got someone who is a little apprehensive, a 1 hour training session doesn't do it. They need time to reflect and practice. The next, as far as flow of information to action, I want to show you what our flow is at our institution, and I think this flow is common among many at many other institutions. So obviously we start with data. We then move into the visualization of information. This goes beyond the rows and column, and you'll see a lot of this when Stephen does his presentation. From that, you move into review and analysis. The beauty of these analytical tools, it allows you to create that cause to wonder, what are my questions? It allows you to very quickly go in, do some easy drag and drops, and get some additional information. So you then do further review and analysis to take action. And the tools are a toolkit. There is no magic tool. There is no single vendor. Tools can range from Microsoft Excel to applications with built-in reporting and dashboards. Most of our ERP systems have this, to statistical packages, and we use a tool called Blackboard Analytics, which used to be iStrategy, for those of you who may have heard of that company, because Blackboard has just bought them within the last 6 or 8 months. And now I want to turn this over to Susan.
Hi. So my job is really to talk about analytics from an IT perspective. In other words, the tools that we use within our department to look at how we're doing in our job. And again, as Celeste mentioned, I'm just going to point out just a couple of them. There are others, but we wanted to look at our learning system analytics, which is kind of a homegrown system outside of the dashboard framework, if you will. It's actually pulling information directly from the Blackboard activity database and looking at mostly usage, but we do look at usage both in terms of the type of course, and we have it broken down, as you can see here, from hybrid, fully online, and face-to-face courses. And then we can see the activity that's going on in those courses. But then we also look at how those courses are doing in terms of the division. And I think that's probably the more useful information for the academic side of the house, where they can actually look at how many courses and how the courses are doing by their individual divisions. And again, there is some visualization that you can see, a quick chart that gets created on the fly whenever you go into these reports. Other reports that we do, and again, it's just a kind of sampling, are from our help desk. And we wanted to show this one in particular because this particular chart shows the times that and the number of calls over the course of a week and what times they're coming in. And we actually use this information to change the hours that our help desk was working. We had initially, at the beginning of about a year ago, changed the hours so that we had the help desk coming in earlier and leaving earlier, because we actually realized after, you know, finally really getting the help desk using the system, that that was actually more in line with what the needs of our users were. This is another quick chart of what we see in the help desk. And again, it just points out where our call volume is coming from and how, and you can drill down and get more information about how long it takes to resolve them. So I think that's it. Stephen.
Good afternoon. Just to put it into a little bit of perspective, I'm going to talk a lot about the academic side of the house, and to put it into context, my division has 13 different departments. We have approximately 400 part-time and full-time faculty in that area. And as the Dean of Arts and Humanities, there's a reason I'm the Dean of Arts and Humanities and not the Dean of Mathematics, which is numbers are scary. They're scary for faculty. They're scary for administrators, especially depending on the reports that come out. So for me, it's trying to take the information and be able to utilize it in a way that's going to make sense, not only to me, but as the academic leader of my division, I need to be able to, A, believe in that information and show my faculty how it's of value to them. So what I'd like to do today is take you through a couple of examples of how we utilize the data tools that were discussed earlier today and be able to put them in a context that I'm hoping you might be able to use as well. So with data specifically, again, the big questions are who provides it, and depending on your institution, that may come from various different areas. Some institutions are set up where they have a very active IR department for institutional research. Some of that information may be coming from your information technology department. And when I started 5 years ago at Montgomery County Community College, and I had asked a number of questions within my division, most of it in terms of information, in terms of, well, how are you making your decisions? A lot of it was coming just very anecdotal. Well, this is my gut feeling. This is what I think enrollment is. This is what I think we ought to be doing in terms of creating new curriculum and whatnot. all of these are valid because they all put it into perspective, but it's making sure that you know what are your tools at your own specific institution and be able to apply those directly to meet your needs. So again, for our area, what is this data? And this is just a very short list of some of the things that we have available to us as academic deans at the college in terms of various reports. Those community college survey of student engagement reports that come out, the Noel Levitts, our IR department puts together a fact book. There are a number of different areas, again, all different tools and information for you to be able to hopefully answer some of those questions. For me, okay, you have this information, big deal. What do I do with it? Two things for me as an academic dean, one of which is to use it somehow that's going to take my division and move that forward and keep us moving forward with either new curriculum, new agenda items, and be able to keep that department growing. The other thing is sharing it. I find any way that I can, whether it be a one-on-one session with a faculty person or staff person, or at a division meeting, a department meeting, working with my coordinators, it's getting that information out there. Again, the more that I understand and use the data and put that in the hands of my faculty and staff, that all contributes to this culture of using data to make some decisions and to drive our decision-making process. So one of the ways that we use it, for example, whether it be a handout or a presentation, is we do use SharePoint to keep dialogue moving forward and to be able to share different reports. So that's one of the tools that we use within the division. One of the things that obviously is a great impact to not only the institution but also the division is enrollment. So we're constantly monitoring enrollment using data. Again, one of the tools that we utilize is the Blackboard Analytics tool that was mentioned. And why I really like the tool for me is don't let the suit fool you. I like to roll up my sleeves and get in and be able to look at the information myself. I love getting a report from IR or IT, but I want to be able to have a tool at my disposal to be able to answer some of those questions right away at my own fingertips. So it's one of the reasons why I really like this tool is because I can create my own customized reports to whether or not I need to monitor some information for perhaps a grant that's coming in, or if we're going to be doing something for high priority occupations. Something to where I can save that report, refer to it, and be able to look at it in a comparison to either the rest of the college or within my own department. Again, sharing that information, what's really important is numbers alone are scary. So how do I put it into a format that really speaks to someone? And the fact that you can do these graphic representations to the data and be able to put that in the hands of a faculty member is really powerful because they could see it right away. What's happening in my, you know, in my classes for music or English or whatever it is, they can see it, monitor it right away, and allows us the time to be able to address that issue if we can address it. But you can't make any changes if you're not monitoring it, and this tool allows us to do that. Another thing, too, is the drill-down features, which I like, because as part of my academic role, I am in charge of arts and humanities for the entire college. We have two campuses, two main campuses. We have an online department. So if I want to be able to pinpoint how is, for example, English or my fine arts program doing at a specific campus, I can drill down to that level and, again, be able to share that with my faculty so that we can try to make some adjustments. So that's one example of how we utilize this. As an academic dean, scheduling is much more important than just putting classes out there in terms of availability. It greatly impacts the finances for the entire college. So obviously, especially in these times when budgets are tight, how do we make some adjustments with this? So some of the cost savings measures that we've looked at are our low enrolled sections, and we've monitored that with the data. Obviously, that leads to additional staffing costs. Every time I add a new section that's open for students, it's going to cost more. We've looked at this in terms of facilities usage costs and also help to address some of our parking constraints. At our West campus, we have very limited parking, and looking at the schedule as a whole and being able to determine perhaps I need to shift some classes around so that we can have access for students to be able to park on campus and be able to address some of those growing needs, data has really been very helpful in assisting us in those decisions. So another tool that we use is Astra. And this tool, again, very easily pulls up a number of reports. We get to look at the utilization for our specific facilities, right down to the classroom. And it also gives us reports, a bottleneck report, in terms of how are we most utilizing the college resources in terms of what are those prime times. Now, we know it gut feeling-wise in terms of when our campus is busiest, and I'm sure most campuses, you know, on a Friday, unless it has residential halls, and I know we have four-year institutions here primarily, but for community colleges, 4 o'clock p.m. on a Friday afternoon, is it really busy? No, not usually, not usually. But again, you can look at what your gut feeling is and be able to really pinpoint down, well, when is that cutoff? When do students start leaving? And look at and compare it to what our current offerings are. Maybe we're not offering the right classes. Maybe we're not bringing in the right cohorts of students. This allows us to be able to look at this. Going back to what Dr. Schwartz was saying about action, we looked at this, and as a result of our analysis, we've made some adjustments in our start times of classes and our offerings overall. We have now expanded our non-prime time slots and are seeing students come in for a Saturday class, a Sunday class, things that we wouldn't normally offer in terms of a specific class. That data has allowed us to be able to experiment a little bit in some of these other areas. So that's been very helpful. Dollars and cents. Another way that we've utilized this data is looking at our section count. How many sections are you offering overall, and what's the utilization of each class? If my class cap is 20 and I've got multiple sections out there with 10 people in it, 12 people in it, it's all attributing to additional costs to the college. So if I start to monitor and lower my overall section count and in turn raise my course utilization, it really helps on the facilities usage, it helps on the staffing costs, and this is another way that we have utilized data within the division. And again, here's just a graphic representation. Again, using multiple tools. We're using Astra to look at certain things. We're looking at the Blackboard Analytics tool and combining all of these different tools to get at the question we're trying to answer. Another thing, obviously, on the academic side, that's most critical for me is curriculum and curriculum development. So one of the things that we looked at many institutions, obviously, liberal studies is the big area. It's the largest one, typically, in terms of student enrollment graduates. But I wanted to look at who's in there. And we tried to pull up some different reports from institutional research and IT to look at certain key classes to determine essentially who are these majors. They're taking liberal studies, but what is their true major? What are they really going for once they leave our institution and move on? So what we looked at is liberal studies and some key courses, and I'll give you an example. One of the courses that we looked at was oral theory, which is a music class that's taught, and in that class, I guarantee nobody's taking oral theory just for enjoyment purposes. These students are taking it because they want to be music majors. So what we needed to do was we had IR look at a report for us in terms of liberal studies majors that were declared majors. What are the key courses that they're taking, and see what some of the connections were. And at the end of that analysis of that data, what we determined is that we had multiple students, again, directly applying to my division, to where we were not offering a degree in music, in theater arts, or in dance. And instead, what was happening with these students is they were all just taking liberal studies and then going on. The result of this is that now we offer a specific degree in music, theater, and dance, and it has taken off. We have seen, again, a balancing to where some of the liberal studies numbers have dropped somewhat to balance off the shift of students into these new degree programs. But what it's also led to is we know we're getting many more students in now taking these specific degree programs because it's now parsed out and it's easier to market. It's easier to be able to say, yes, you can take this and be able to go directly on to our four-year transfer partners and create some of those connections. So that's something that was really critical for us. So another area, graduated, now what? Biggest thing is when we're looking at curriculum development, the things that we're trying to keep in mind are two items, one of which is students are either going to transfer or we're going to focus on the career path. And what I know that we are constantly thinking of, but I don't know if we utilize the data to determine it, is the current degree offerings relevant in meeting today's industry needs? So yet one other tool that we utilize is something that's called Career Coach. And Career Coach for us looks at the employment area in terms of projections. Where are the openings? And this was one that we were looking at where in our specific area, 25 miles away from our main campus, there's an estimate of 222 annual openings in this area of public relations. Again, going back to looking at the data, the cause to wonder piece. As we're looking at this and looking at public relations, it caused us to go back to our speech communication area and look at what is our current course offerings? What is the development that we should be doing on creating new courses to prepare students for that industry need that's been identified? And the end result, again, using that data and making it into an actionable item, is being able to bring to the Board of Trustees the proposal for a new certificate in public relations. This was just passed last week, where we have now a new 18-credit certificate in public relations that will start this fall. Again, taking us through the whole process of utilizing that data and making it worth something. So it's constantly asking the so what questions. It's constantly asking that. How am I going to utilize this? Going back to the creation of that data-informed decision making, obviously for me as an academic, that faculty buy-in is key. Administration can push down as hard as it wants to push down, but without faculty involvement, engagement, and understanding of that data, I know we are not going to be able to move anything forward in terms of the institution and, again, for my own needs for the division specifically. So, again, it's that sharing piece. It's that understanding piece. So my last example I just want to talk about briefly today is some other areas that we're also utilizing data. In these three specific areas, it's been something to where faculty are very heavily involved with looking at the data and looking at it across the entire college. I meet with them on a regular basis. There's a number of other subgroups that also work through some of this information in terms of answering their questions about data reports. So in the English area, we've utilized data to look at our placement scores, for example. Are we blocking people out of the institution because they got to go through this extra hoop of being able to test into a developmental course, for example? And are our cutoff scores something that is appropriate? And looking at that across multiple institutions and within our own institution. So we've been looking at that. We've been looking at assessment and creating assessments in curriculum revisions. What I will say is one of the most powerful tools I have found for faculty is the assessment piece. I know it's important for accreditation purposes, but even more important is the fact that faculty build that assessment. They own that assessment. And that's something to where they're utilizing that data to be able to put that up against a program or a specific course and say, yes, our learning objectives are being met, they're working, or no, they're not, and we need to make an adjustment. Reading is one of those areas where we are contemplating making some adjustments. We've made a new course, but we're studying some of the alignments now across the entire college. And the other thing that has come up is, in this area specifically, is do I trust this data? It's not always cut and dry. And I will tell you before I came today, we actually had a meeting where, not that the data was inaccurate or bad, but what it came down to was, is it measuring the right thing? And unless I had faculty engaged in that conversation, we wouldn't have really been able to get at what is the question we really should be asking. So this is something to where we're going to go back to the drawing board. We're going to look at our research question. We're going to tie that better into their course assessments and be able to take some actionable items out of that. And one of the other areas where I'm most proud of is our SCS, which are Students for College Assessment course, to where we had, it's essentially our orientation class, but it focuses on study skills and a number of areas that are very helpful to students. And what we're looking at is we started with one course, and based on the data, we actually tore it down to its base level and rebuilt it from scratch. And faculty obviously were very involved with that. It ended up resulting in a course that has an additional credit associated with it, but we're seeing a lot of student success in this area. So those are just a few of the examples, that we use in academics. And I thank you very much for your time, and we'll turn this over to Dr. Schwartz again.
Okay. So we have about, let's say, 7 minutes or so. We're going to do a little exercise. We have some handouts, and we're hoping people will stay. Because this is your time to participate. And the folks online can also see the group activity. I'm going to go through it real quickly. Basically, we've given you a little chart. The same types of charts that Dr. Grieco uses every day in his job. And I will tell you this, that there are other dashboards layered behind this dashboard, but we wanted to give you an opportunity to decide what data you would need for your institution. So first, given the data below, what can you say about the student success and retention rate? Two, what might be some reasons why this would happen? Three, what are the areas of concern or potential challenge as you look at this data? And four, what other data would you like to see about these courses? Five, where at your institution can you obtain the additional data needed? And six, how would you share this? So let me ask that you work in groups, just sort of gather probably 5 to 10 folks in a group, and in about, let's say, 6 minutes, I'm just going to stop the conversation and ask some of you to come up to the microphone and provide some input or ask any questions that you might have.
think that's good. Okay, we're going to reconvene. I know you have some real interesting conversations going on. I know that there are questions coming from the external audience, the online audience, and we'll be asking, allowing those to occur shortly. But would anybody like to go up to the mic and share anything that they see? Tell us about underlying data that you might also think your institutions would need. We only need, like, one or two brave people to walk up. Perfect.
Hello. So one of the things we were wondering is with the MAT course, MAT 106, we saw a low success rate of 57.02, but the retention rate seemed to be fairly high at the 82.24, and so we were wondering what was going on there that was keeping people around even though they weren't being very successful. Mm-hmm. The other question that we were both having is, this is great to have this data to be able to ask these questions, but in our institutions, trying to even get the data is the first difficult point, and it would be interesting to hear how you all made the decision about what data to collect and how you get to that point.
Okay, so I'll answer the question, then maybe somebody else will come up to the mic and have another question or an observation. So the institutional effectiveness model that I talked about that our college has, there is a process that involves the entire college community. Where we identify what the key performance indicators are. So let me first say that we have college key performance indicators, but in IT, I also have key performance indicators. So every area of our institution has key performance indicators. So you really have to start at that baseline, and then you start looking at what tools you're going to use to get that data. And as we showed you today, we showed you a few of our tools. But we also use SPSS, and we do queries out of our ERP system. So the data is coming from a lot of different directions. Other questions? I know we have a question online. Can you share that with us?
Scott from online was asking about those colleges who are struggling with analytics and wondering if most of you or if our speakers today could speak to whether those struggles tend to come from the decision to make to use analytics or if it's really more coming from the if it's more based on when decisions made on analytics aren't being supported on campus.
So at our campus, I think I've said clearly that analytics is supported. I think that's the most important thing, and I think it has to start from the top. But there are probably colleges in the audience that aren't having success for one reason or the other. Maybe they could share their thoughts. Anyone in the audience want to share any of your thoughts with Scott? I think she's bringing up a handheld.
One of the issues that hi, Celeste.
Hi,
we know each other for
you?
A while. One of the issues that I have experienced at the current campus I'm at and previous institutions, when you do this kind of work, this kind of analytic, this kind of detail, it tends to show real big holes in your online, in your transactional data. Now, that becomes, in the instances that I've seen it, a little bit political. So then they kind of say, well, let's go work around that. So it's hard to go to the full point. But more and more we're finding now, all right, well, we'll patch the hole. Not just patch it to get it to work, but we'll fix it and then we get it better. We're running that now with our institutional research folks. They're finding that there were a lot of holes. They were fixing them in their final report, but they were never fixing them back in the main source. So we're finding that the more holes we find by going down the analytic course, the better it is in the long run for the better analytics.
I would agree. Any other comments? And I think we have a question or a comment, and then we'll get to you. Go ahead.
We just had one question in our group. Dual status, does that refer to post-secondary students?
Dual enrollment.
Well, it says dual status. That's what we were curious about, what that actually meant.
So we have students who are in high school and college simultaneously.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. And you had a question, ma'am, or a comment?
So a little bit of both. I guess to add on to the question that came from online, I think one of the major issues here is the soft part, the human interaction. So you can have these wonderful tools and instruments. You can buy all these tools you want. And as you say, we can collect a lot of data. But ultimately, it's the process. It's, you know, who is going to truly be accountable for inputting that data regularly and in a timely manner. And then also the managerial responsibility of actually bringing that data to the table when meetings are held. And I think I'm a librarian. Libraries, we've been collecting a lot of data for a long, long, long time. And that is one of the, that's a major issue that I have found.
Okay. Other comments, questions?
Hi.
Hi.
Just a comment that I have, or observation of this, is just 5 years trended here where there's almost perceptible change going up and down a little bit, but pretty much flat across. And mm-hmm. So just, mm-hmm. you know, it suggests to me that you would share this with the departments to say, you know, it looks like there's room for improvement. You're at 60% roughly, but, you know, there's 40% left that you could go for improvement. The other thing is just that if I'm understanding how these bars are created, there's many different breakdowns that you could explore, like age or the ethnicity and so on, to see if that kind of, you know, flatline trend remains the same, and you could look for
our dashboard behind this has all the next layer, which we didn't share, has all the demographics.
Right, but that's when I see this, that's how I immediately react and
agreed.
Think what to do with it.
Thank you.
I can comment on that. That's something to where this, for me as a division dean, has really given me the resources and tool I need to be able to push the envelope a bit with faculty to where, you know, traditionally, whatever that course is that's reflecting that specifically where there hasn't been much motion, you would go to them in the past and say, well, we need to be able to improve on this area. Well, we're fine. I mean, students are passing, things are good. And again, going back to that anecdotal place, when looking at the cold numbers here and looking at the charts, you have to go back to looking at, well, what's really happening here? Because anecdotally, you're thinking this one thing as a department, but here's what's really happening. And then how do you start that conversation? And part of it goes back to what you had mentioned about in terms of that sharing piece and putting it on the table and being able to have the conversation with them. So this, for me, is a great conversation starter with my faculty in terms of, this is what the data shows, so let's talk about it.
And one more question because we're out of time.
So it looks like a lot of the data that you've been talking about are data that you get at the end of the semester, and I'm wondering if there's any predictors that you have during the semester so that you can reach, you know, particular students who are likely to drop out.
We have a retention alert system that is part of our ERP system, and that is updated on a regular basis and is really triggered and activated by faculty participation. And that is occurring all through the semester. And any of our admissions and registration data is updated every day out of the warehouse. And we are acting and reacting on courses and course offerings every single day. Thank you very much for coming. Enjoy the rest of your day.
Thank you.